I was hearing this week some incredibly encouraging news. I don't know if you've been following, maybe you haven't, but this moon passed by that the States sent off. They sent four astronauts, didn't they? You know, one of them was a committed Christian. And when the rocket came back to Earth, two committed Christians were on board. Do you know that? Praise the Lord. These are incredible times we're living in. There are amazing revivals going on all over the world now. And we hear, maybe you've heard of amazing revivals in the past. Maybe you've heard of the evangelist George Whitefield. Huge crowds that were converted under his gospel preaching. One biographer said of his time in Scotland in May 1742, services were held outdoors in large natural amphitheatres. During the first day that he preached there three times. And Whitefield reported that such a commotion surely was never heard of, especially at 11 at night. For about an hour and a half, there was much weeping, so many falling into deep distress and expressing it in various ways. Mr. McCulloch preached after I had ended till past one in the morning, and then could scarce persuade them to depart. All night in the fields might be heard the voice of prayer and praise. Some young ladies were found by a gentlewoman praising God at daybreak, and she went and joined them. Now, a number of you have heard Billy Graham preach, and some of you were even converted under his ministry. Praise the Lord. It was another amazing time in England, wasn't it, when revival broke. Do we not really want to see revival again now? Don't we want the gospel to race through our streets as they have done in the past? We look back to these amazing revivals and these awakenings of the past, and we long for the Lord to do it now. Again, Lord. We hear of a quiet revival perhaps going on in the UK, don't we? And that's great. But we don't want a quiet revival. We want a loud revival. We are not satisfied with quiet. We want the message of Christ to ring out in our land, as it did in Thessalonica in the first century, don't we? That is what the Apostle Paul is urging the Thessalonian believers to pray for in our passage tonight. And not only that, but to know that the Lord will strengthen and protect them with gospel perseverance as they share the message of the gospel, just like Paul was doing over in Corinth at the same time, with a hostile environment. And you see, the common thread of all revivals that have ever happened is prayer. Prayer. If the Lord's people commit to pray for the Spirit to give conviction of sin and repentance, then the Lord does seem to lead us to believe that we should expect revival. We must pray for the gospel and say the gospel. We should expect revival to explode when we do this. But as we do this also, we need to know the love of God and the perseverance of the Lord Jesus, which spurs us on in this incredible gospel mission. We need to know those things too. Well, we've come actually to the last section of the second letter that Paul sent to the Thessalonians, our first century brothers and sisters in Christ. There are people enduring fierce persecution, you remember, from those around them, because they have turned to the true and living God. They turned away from their idols and their past life, and they're living for God now, but they're not keeping it to themselves, are they? And that is affecting every aspect of their lives. Every person they come into contact with sees this, and it's jarring. In this second letter, Paul is quite direct and frank, isn't he? You've probably seen that, much more direct than the first letter. And he wants to correct deceptive heresy and comfort distressed hearts. And at the end of chapter 2, he prays a prayer that's actually unpacked in the last section. He prays that the Lord may encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. And then in chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, he unpacks what it means for our hearts to be encouraged and strengthened in every good word. The good word of the Lord, specifically, gospel. And then in verses 6 to 15, he unpacks what it means for our hearts to be encouraged and strengthened in every good work. The good work of the Lord's people. Today we're going to zoom into the good word of the Lord, and next we'll go to the good work of the Lord. You might remember, actually, that that's what Paul did in the first letter, isn't it? At the end of chapter 3, he prayed for holiness, love, and future hope to increase. And then in chapter 4, he unpacked each of those. He's doing exactly the same thing right here. This evening, we're going to hear Paul speak to us about the good word of the Lord, and it's in two parts. Firstly, gospel propagation, spreading the gospel. And secondly, gospel perseverance. So firstly, gospel propagation, verses 1 to 2 there. Paul asks the Thessalonian believers to pray for him and the other missionaries with him, and he gives them two major prayer points. Just come to verse 1 with me, would you? As for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us that, one, the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honoured, just as it was with you. And two, pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people, for not everyone has faith. Both prayer points are about the spread of the gospel. Gospel propagation, you see. His first prayer point, verse 1 there, is more literally, pray that the word of the Lord will run and be glorified. It's like an athlete running and winning the race. Paul is using a familiar picture to flood our minds with a vision of revival, isn't he? It's a picture of the gospel advancing rapidly and triumphing over darkness, defeating the deception of the enemy and calling dead sinners to life. The gospel is an urgent message of good news that people need to hear. If chapters 1 and 2 of this letter have given us just one impression, it's that the gospel message is very serious. It's very serious. It's very urgent. And it is very good. Praise the Lord. The gospel is good and necessary news for us. So please pray that its message will be racing through the streets of Corinth and be glorified among all the elect who are out there so that they hear and believe. Just listen to what happened in Antioch in Acts 13:44. Nearly all the city assembled to hear the word of the Lord. This is when Paul was there preaching. And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. Same phrase. And all who had been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread through the whole region. The word of the Lord ran and was glorified in Antioch. People were being saved all over the place. That is what Paul is praying for now. And that also happened in Thessalonica, didn't it? When Paul, Silas, and Timothy visited them just for 3 weeks. And Paul wants to remind them that as they pray for the gospel to run, he says in verse 1, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. What happened with you can happen with others. So will you pray for God to do in their hearts what he has done in your hearts? Will you devote yourself to praying for gospel progress, friends? Will you give yourself to pray for the lost in and around us in Cheshire? Will you do that? The gospel message would run and be honoured among us. In the ancient world, if two nations were at war, it was very common for the victorious army to send a messenger running back to the home country to deliver the good news of peace. Now, that's a picture of what it's like when a Christian shares the gospel with someone who's never heard of it before. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation. That's what we all feel when we hear the gospel for the first time. Praise the Lord. The word of the Lord is good news. We don't have a bad message to deliver, do we? It may be the stench of death to those God has not chosen for salvation. But for those God has appointed for salvation, it is a life-giving smell, friends. May the good message of peace with God run and be glorified in Cheshire as we give ourselves to pray for it, friends, and say it. Paul's second prayer request is that the missionaries themselves would be rescued from wicked and evil people. And you could translate that from morally unhinged and evil people. Apparently in Corinth there were some people who were threatening Paul, Silas and Timothy. And they were morally unhinged and evil people. It's quite frightening, isn't it? There's opposition to his gospel ministry there. And he's not simply asking for prayer that he will be kept physically safe. He's not mainly concerned about physical safety. He's asking for prayer that God that would keep their gospel work going. And it wouldn't be stopped by these wicked, evil people. That was actually a common prayer request of Paul. Just listen to Romans 15, 30 to 31. Strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea. See, although God's people will always face persecution, and it's often to strengthen them, persecution can also completely snuff out gospel progress in the area. And that would be a terrible thing, which we should pray against, friends. We should pray for believers to stand firm in their faith in the face of persecution, but also that they would be delivered from it so that the gospel can continue to ring out. Whole swathes of North Africa, the Middle East and Turkey used to burn brightly with gospel witness before Islam snuffed it out with violence. Here's the reality. As Paul said in chapter 2, verse 7, the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. That's the reality of the Christian life. The outer edges of the coming hurricane are already touching us now in this world. We are sure to face the opposition of Satan, and so we need to pray for deliverance. For missionaries on the front line, we need to pray for them, but also for believers engaged in sharing the gospel with their friends and their family and their colleagues. The devil doesn't like the gospel running through the streets he once owned. He doesn't like that. He doesn't like it when the gospel is preached through the gates of hell so the dead are raised to life and walk out as new creations in the Lord. And so he uses people who are still under his power, those who don't have faith in the Lord, to persecute God's people as they share the gospel. We need to pray for deliverance, safety, and protection for missionaries and for ourselves as we engage in mission. This is a spiritual war, friends. It is a war we are in. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms, we're told in Ephesians. So in the light of these things, friends, we need to pray. We need to pray. We need to pray. Do you hear? Let me just offer a couple of responses. First, do not think your prayers are not needed. Don't think your prayers are not needed. The Apostle Paul, this is amazing, isn't it? The one who God used powerfully to write lots of scripture and to convert huge numbers of people, that man asked brand new Christians to pray for him. Young believers, to pray for him. Don't think that your prayers are not needed, that you're not good enough, or that you can't pray well enough. Pray for gospel progress. Do you know that all effective prayer is only effective because of Jesus Christ? It's not effective because they are mature believers. It's not effective because they are following the Lord particularly closely. All effective prayer is effective because they belong to the Son. That is why. No Christian is ever heard by God the Father because of who they are or what they have done. We are heard because of who we belong to. Do you know that? When a new believer asks God to help those speaking in the Crewe open air on the first Saturday of every month, that prayer is just as powerful as if any elder had prayed it. Brothers and sisters, your prayers for the gospel to run and be honoured amongst us are needed and important. Can I ask you to pray for me and the other elders? Pray for the gospel message that we proclaim to run and to be glorified as a result of our ministry. Please pray for us. Second, pray for God's kingdom to come and that we would be delivered from evil. I wonder if you saw that pattern from the Lord's Prayer in Paul's request there. The apostle gives us an example of how we might adapt the Lord's Prayer for missionary work. But we could just as well do the same thing for our marriages or for work or for parenting or for caring for elderly parents. We might think, how can I pray for God's will to be done in this situation? For it to extend his kingdom and honour his name. How can I pray for God's provision in this situation, that he'll lead me through safely and unmoved by evil? How can I pray for his forgiveness to be demonstrated through me and others? So can I take the opportunity again to just ask you to pray for me and for all of the other elders. Pray that we would be delivered from the evil one's schemes to stop and to slow our gospel ministry, because he is at work. He is at work. So we've seen gospel propagation. Now, secondly, gospel perseverance. Gospel perseverance. Verses 3-5 there. It can be disheartening and scary to share the gospel sometimes, can't it? Maybe you've thought that as you've considered sharing. We can keep praying and we can keep saying the gospel, but often we're faced with apathy, closed doors, rude comments, rejection, even aggression. I got chased down the street by an angry man once. He was an atheist and he didn't want me to talk about people in his area about Jesus. Last Thursday, I was in Stoke with a guy called Ian, door knocking in a Muslim area. And it was disheartening that so many people just shut their door in our face. It was disheartening. We really need gospel perseverance, don't we? At around the same time Paul wrote 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, he was going through a discouraging and fearful time in the city of Corinth. Acts 18 tells us that when Silas and Timothy came to him after visiting the region of Thessalonica, he was facing fierce opposition there. He must have become afraid or tempted to stop sharing the gospel, because Acts 18 verse 9 tells us, it says, one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you. And no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city. So Paul stayed in Corinth for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God. Isn't that amazing? Do you see how faithful the Lord is to be with his people as they face opposition? Do you see how concerned he is for us to be strengthened and protected when we feel afraid and just like giving up sharing the gospel? He loves us and he wants us to share the message of the gospel because he has many people in Cheshire. Those chosen by God, who will respond when they hear the message of the gospel. The Apostle Paul knows what it's like to be discouraged in heart and afraid to speak, doesn't he? And he writes to the Thessalonian believers around the same time to help them as they face the same challenges he does. He says in verse 3, the Lord is faithful. and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. See, despite opposition from those who lack faith and are evil, we need to know that the Lord is faithful and he will deliver us from the evil one. Friends, we need to be reminded that although we might face lots of morally unhinged and evil people in this world, and although the Lord might even give permission to them to take our lives, he might, all the elect are guaranteed to receive the strength that we need to face that. We are guaranteed ultimate protection from evil. Every single one of us will be brought safely home into God's kingdom. This can't mean that we'll be invincible, can it? Or that we won't face any physical persecution, because that could not be further from the truth with the Apostle Paul. That's not what he's saying. Just listen to 2 Timothy 4, where Paul describes a time when the Lord's faithfulness to strengthen and protect him when he was sharing the gospel. 2 Timothy 4:17 says, "The Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth." Now just hear his confidence in verse 18. Where does his confidence come from? "The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom." He will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. The evil one is like a roaring lion. He prowls around seeking someone to devour. The greatest danger in the world that we need rescuing from is the danger of a shipwrecked faith. The danger of a lost eternity. And though we may face severe suffering in this earth, the Lord will bring all of his elect safely into his heavenly kingdom. And so ultimately, we have nothing to fear as we share the gospel. But Paul wants the Thessalonian believers to know that the Lord is with us. He will strengthen and protect us as we follow his call to show and share the gospel. That's verse 3. But what he says next seems a little bit strange, doesn't it? At first glance, come to verse 4 with me. "We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command." Paul's been speaking about the challenges of sharing the gospel in Corinth that he's facing. And then he's encouraging the Thessalonians to keep going with their evangelism, isn't he? And then verse 4 is a reminder that actually sharing the gospel with our mouths is not a suggestion. It is a command of God. He prayed in chapter 2, verse 17, that God would strengthen them in every good word. And no word is more good than the gospel, is it? He is confident that the command to share the gospel, which he gave them, is being obeyed, and it will be obeyed. Just remember, this letter is being read out publicly in a church gathering. Imagine how it would sound to us if an apostle wrote to us to encourage us in our evangelism and then said, "We're confident that you are doing what we commanded you to do and you will do it." Now, most of us won't be gifted evangelists. Most of us are not gifted evangelists. But we are all called to actively prepare and share the reason for the hope we have in Christ. 1 Peter 3:15. We're all called to shine among those in darkness, so they can see the light of the gospel and be saved. Philippians 2:16. All of us are ambassadors for Christ. We've all been given the ministry of reconciliation as though God were making his appeal through us. 2 Corinthians 5:18. We've all been given the great commission to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, at Matthew 28:19-20. Now, friends, I'm sure in our heart of hearts, all believers want people around us to hear the amazing news of the gospel. In our heart of hearts, that is what we want. We have been so incredibly blessed, haven't we? We want them to hear about our loving Lord, the Son of God, who gave up his life on the cross to pay for the sins of all who repent, saving them from eternal punishment. We want them to know that Christ rose from the dead to give eternal life to all those who believe in him. Evangelism is about sharing that amazing message. But you know, it's like walking along the ridge of a hill. We can often fall on one side into discouragement and fear. And we can often fall on the other side into apathy and self-centeredness. Well, the Lord, in his kindness and in his love, is putting his arm around us and moving us forward along the ridge of that hill in gospel perseverance. He's turning us away from both of these things, which are common fleshly responses. Sometimes we need to be comforted and encouraged, don't we? Sometimes we need an electric cattle prod. Now, Paul wraps these things up in verse 5 by praying. Just come there with me. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. Do you see, this helps us not fall down on either side of the ridge. That's what this does. If we're becoming discouraged and afraid of sharing the gospel, he prays that the Lord will plunge our hearts deep into the love of God, because perfect love casts out fear. 1 John 4. If apathy and self-centeredness leads us to avoid sharing the gospel, he prays the Lord would guide our hearts into the perseverance of Jesus Christ himself. Because when our hearts are plunged into Christ's perseverance, we will joyfully endure the cross, laying down our lives for the sake of others, for their salvation, just like Christ, the perseverance of Christ. This prayer would be an excellent prayer to pray, wouldn't it? For each other and for ourselves. We are all weak. We all need help walking along the ridge and not to fall off either side. And so hopefully you see that prayer is absolutely vital if the gospel is going to ring out among us here in Wheelock. If we're going to see revival, then these verses that we've looked at tonight and the sorts of verses that we need to really, really believe in, friends, we need to believe this. They are so powerful. Personally, I know that very often I have needed either the comfort or the cattle prod of God at different times. I'm sure that I will continue to need both of these throughout my Christian life. It's just how it is. Can I ask you, do you need either of these tonight, friend? Do you need to be comforted because you're discouraged? Do you need the cattle prod because of apathy? Please know that the Lord himself is with you and he loves you. He will strengthen you in every good word. Well, in our passage we've seen gospel propagation and gospel perseverance. When we go into work on a Monday morning and someone asks, how was your weekend? Our fear might grip us and might force us to say something like, oh, it was great weather to go for a walk on Saturday. Don't talk about Sunday. But if we receive the comfort of the Lord in these precious verses, we'll take that opportunity given to us by God to share with gentleness and respect the Lord Jesus Christ. It was so good on Sunday morning at church. We were looking at how one of Jesus' disciples doubted that he had really risen from the dead. But Jesus let him touch the wounds in his hands and sides to prove that he wasn't a ghost. Have you read about that before? Would you like to read with me? Perhaps we're talking with our neighbour or an old friend and we see an opportunity to share our hope in Christ, but we don't think they want to hear. Might make things awkward between us. We're neighbours. Apathy and self-centeredness takes over to grip our heart. Well, in that moment, We need the cattle prod from these verses, don't we? The Lord Jesus died for me because he loves me. I'm not the only person that he loves, and I'm not the only person that he died for. He has commanded me to share the good news I have received. Friends, can I encourage you to receive this message in love, knowing that it comes from the Lord who loves us and loves those he places in our spheres of influence. Every person in this room has a different sphere of influence. The Lord wants the message of his gospel to run in Cheshire and to be honoured. And for that to happen, we need his comfort and his cattle prod, don't we? May the Lord direct our hearts, Wheelock, into the love of God and the perseverance of Christ for his glory. Amen.